Our next guest is a parent and one who had to work very hard to become a parent. Armando Lucas Correa and his male partner were determined, but starting as they did in the early 2000s, there were many obstacles to their pathway to parenthood. The journey through that obstacle course is told in fine detail in Armando Correa's book, In Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family. Armando Lucas Correa is a journalist, editor, and author. He was once the editor of the Spanish-language version of People magazine. Armando has written two novels, including The German Girl. En Busca de Emma was first published in Spanish in 2007 and is just now out in an English edition. Armando, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm so happy to present my book, In Search of Emma, today with you.
Well, it's great to have you. You've written and edited so much about so many people. How hard was it to write your own story?
Oh, yeah. In Search of Emma is my most personal book, as you know, and one I never thought I'd write. And I remember that an editor at HarperCollins came to my office at People in Español in New York, and I thought he was interested in publishing a book about legendary Hispanic celebrities. But he actually wanted to talk to me into writing a book about how I had my daughter via surrogacy. I was shocked, yes. I usually don't speak or write about my personal life. It took him a while to convince me, but I agreed to do it. When I went over notes I've been keeping throughout the process, I discovered I had extensive record of conversation I had with my family over the years. And then, In Search of Emma is here, yeah.
It's interesting because one of the things you say early in the book is you tend to forget terrible moments, and it seems like there are many of them on the way to fatherhood.
Oh my God. We have all the accidents, you know, all the possible accidents we have via surrogacy. And I remember when Emma was like 2 years old, she said to me, "Dad, I want to have a sister or a brother." I said, "Oh my God," going back to the accidents and the stress. And I talked to my partner and I said, "Okay, we have a couple of embryos frozen. We have to pay for the storage at the clinic. Let's try." You know, then we called the surrogate. The surrogate mother said, "Yes, yes, I can do it again with you guys." And then we try. And thank God, we didn't have any accidents. A couple of months later, we get the news that we're going to have twins. And now my twins, Anna and Luca, they are 11 years old.
Oh, wow, that's great. Yeah, Anna and Lucas and Emma, of course. So, yes. And Emma is 16 now? 15?
Emma is going to be 16 November 14, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Big and, birthday. You know, and she's a very smart girl, and she reads a lot, and she told us that she wants to go to medical school. We're very, very proud of her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can imagine, sure. Well, set the scene for us, though. I mean, back at the beginning here, how difficult 21 years ago for a man your age, to adopt, for example?
Yeah, you know, I'm Cuban. I came to this country in 1991, starting in Miami as a reporter for the Herald. I remember when I had my first full-time job, we have our savings, we bought our first house, and we have a small backyard, and I said to Gonzalo, my partner, "I think we're ready to have a kid. Let's try to adopt one." I said, "We are never going to be able to adopt a kid in Florida." And then I started writing to China, Ukraine, Latin America, to all these foster homes and organizations, different organizations. And then I realized that, you know, gay couples were not allowed to adopt in Florida. And it was really sad. Thank God, you know, same-sex couple can now adopt children in all 50 states. But, you know, we're talking about here 1993. And then when they opened People in Español in New York, I am with them, you know, since the beginning. I think it was in 1998 that I read an article in People magazine before going to print about a gay guy who had, you know, his daughter via surrogate mother, via egg donor, and IVF. Because I have access to the article, I called the agency immediately. They were surprised. They said, "How? You know, it's not going to be published until 2 weeks. And I explained them that I work with the same company. I started the process. And to have an idea, we're talking about 1999 here when I signed the contract with the agency. And I had my daughter in 2005.
Wow. So, yeah, that's a long trip. But but it sounds like you had long wanted to be a parent. And is this the same? Does Gonzalo share your feelings, and had he always?
I think so, but you know, he came from a traditional family, you know, with a mother, father, three sisters, living in the same apartment, you know, his whole life in Cuba. But I came from a very peculiar family. My mother, during the 60s, she divorced my father when I was like 2 years old, and my sister was like 1 or 2 months old. Because my mother went to an American school in Guantanamo, and she was one of the best students there. And my father wanted her to stay at home, you know, taking care of the children. My mother wanted to be an engineer. And then they got divorced. We moved to Havana. My mother became a very successful engineer in Cuba. She's 81 and still working here in Miami. And I grew up, you know, without a father, and I want to be very clear, because my father is a great father to his daughter with a new marriage, but, you know, he was an absent present to us. And I grew up around my grandmother, my mother, my sister, my aunt. They were very strong women, and I always think that, you know, I want to be a father, maybe because I didn't have one. And when we moved here with Gonzalo, that was my dream, and it was hard, but you know, you can get it. If you dream, you can make it true.
Yeah, if you dream and work really hard, as we find out in the book, this is no small book, and it was no small search, but it did conclude successfully, as we've already heard. Emma is now 16 years old. Anna and Lucas, her siblings, are 11 years old. So we're talking to Armando Lucas Correa about his book, In Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family. We're back on the Jefferson Exchange to pick up the story of this long odyssey and the many steps along the way. And several chapters are called First Accident, Second Accident, things like that. So you'll get an idea of the setbacks along the way. But we'll come back and talk more with Armando. And if you're welcome to join us with phone calls and emails on the Exchange when we return in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our guest is Armando Lucas Correa, a longtime writer, editor, author. His two novels include The German Girl. He writes about himself in Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family, about his and his male partner's search for a child and all the obstacles that stood, certainly when they started the search in the early 2000s, and took a while to get there. The book is divided into The Search 2000 to 2004 and The Arrival in 2005. Emma is, in fact, 16 now. The book is In Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family. You're welcome to join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You were telling us about part of the motivation here being that you wanted to be a father to your children in ways that your father was not much of a father to you over the years. But you do point out to us in the book, it's a very lovely vignette here about having Emma meet your father when she was very little. And it seemed like everybody was just a bit different after 50 years.
My father lives in Cuba, and it's really hard to get a visa and the permit of living in Cuba. It's a very complicated thing. And when Emma was around 1 year old, I think, I decided to start the process to invite my father and have a kind of reunion. And I keep it in secret with the whole family. And then one day I talked to my mother. I said, my father is coming this weekend. No. And everybody was in shock, but it was a great experience. He's a great guy, you know, and my sister and I, we look a lot like him. And for me, it was important for Emma, you know, to have a picture with you know, her grandfather. And we always try to create, like, the best environment for her and meet all, you know, the family. And we invited him again when she was around 4 years old, like a 3 and a half. And then, you know, right now he's 86. It's hard for him to travel to here. But someday we're going to visit Cuba, the whole family, the five of us. That's one of my dreams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But haven't gotten there yet then?
No. You know, I'm a journalist. It's really hard for the Cuban government let me in. And I remember when Obama opened the, you know, the President Obama opened the diplomatic relation between the both countries. And in New York, the Publisher Weekly created, like, the first delegation of editors and publishers, American editors and publishers going to Cuba during the Havana Book Fair. I was writing my first novel, The German Girl. It was, I think it was in print at that moment, and I said to them, okay, they invite me, not because I'm a writer, because I'm the editor of People in Español, and I said to them, okay, I'd love to go. I don't know if they're going to let me in. I am an American citizen, but because of the law in Cuba, I have to travel with a Cuban passport. I need a visa, but they let me in, and the problem was with the second time that we visit the next year, I was with the editors and president of Simon & Schuster with around 100 copies of The German Girl, and they banned the book. When we arrived, they keep all the books, and it was like a nightmare for me. And I said, you know, I need to put Cuba on the side, because even I'm trying to make, you know, live here with the family and everything, but Cuba is always like it's painful, you know. It's complicated.
Yeah, it's Cuba, but so I just wonder how, for example, the diplomatic stuff and the passport things you got into with Cuba, how you would compare those with the process of trying to get into surrogate parenthood and that whole.
It's almost the same, and almost the both of them, they're expensive. Of course, you know, to apply for the Cuban passport and the visa and everything is over $2,000. And I know Emma was more expensive. I always said that the making of Emma, it costs around $125,000.
Wow.
And you know, in our business, we don't make a lot of money. And when I started making Emma, I was a writer, a senior writer, and I had to put on sale my apartment in New York. You know, it was around 5 years spending money traveling to California because the whole process was in San Diego, California, and my agency, the doctors, the lawyers, everybody was there. And but you know, I have my kids now, and I always explain, because you know, when I published a book the first time in Spanish, I remember you know, a lot of celebrity coming to me, and you know, gay couples, or maybe you know, a heterosexual couple, and because they wanted to have a child, and I always said to them, if you want to be a parent, you can be a parent. You know, you can fight all the odds that you want to find. But at the end, you know, infertility, you can work on it. You can adopt an embryo. You can adopt a child. You can go via IVF. You can go, you know, through a surrogate mother. The only thing is that you want it. If you want it, you're going to be a parent.
Mm-hmm. It will happen, and it did happen. We're talking to Armando Lucas Correa about In Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family. Talk about the some of the choices you have to make along the way. When you decided to go with surrogacy, there's a couple different kinds, and you opted for the surrogacy where you are the sperm donor, there is an egg donor, and then a third person is the gestation mother.
Exactly.
Why that process?
Yeah, that's called gestation. traditional surrogacy. Mm-hmm. The other one is traditional surrogacy. Mm-hmm. Surrogacy. The traditional one, you know, the surrogate mother is the same one donated the egg. And then you don't have to go via IVF. You can do like an insemination, no? Because she's the carrier and she's the egg donor at the same time. The only problem there is that this woman, that baby is hers, you know, DNA talking. And at the same time, when you have a child in California, you have to adopt your child because it's hers biologically. With the second one, you know, the gestational surrogacy, the one that I did, you are the sperm donor, you have an egg donor, you create the embryo, and then you transfer the embryo to a third party, that surrogate mother, and then you are the biological and legally father of the child. And when the Emma was born, we have the birth certificate that said my name, and then in the mother's side, it said unknown, because she's not the mother biologically. Hmm. If she decide to fight and keep the baby, that's only like twice cases in 20 years. And I always want to win because the baby is mine if we do the test, no? The biological test.
So you had a surrogate mom all picked out. I should point out that your search for a surrogate began in Portland but ended up in California. So exactly. There's Oregon, yeah, and California in here. You had a surrogate mom all picked out, but then there was some news from your end of the conception process. What was going on?
Yeah. I learned that you always need, like, two medical opinions. Uh-huh. Don't follow only one. When I started the process, one of my regular doctors said to me, oh, you're infertile, you don't have enough, you know, sperm, the mobility is too slow, and this is hard to go through the IVF, that is, you know, you have to have like 60 million of sperm, something like that. And then I lost 1 year until I went to my new doctor. He moved, I think, to Florida. That was in New York. And then my doctor said, Armando, you need only one sperm. This is in vitro, you know, everything is going to be manipulated in the lab. And then I did the test. They said, no, you are fine. And then I started the process again with the agency. The other problem that we always have as a gay couple is that most of the surrogate mothers, they don't want to work with the gay couples. They prefer traditional couples. And then I found this woman. You know, her name is Mary, and she wrote me a beautiful letter saying that, you know, she's a white woman married to a black guy, and she has a biracial child, a daughter, and she doesn't want to be, you know, that her daughter be rejected because she's different or she looks different. And then she said, yes, I want to work with you guys, and we met her, and, she won our heart immediately. And after, you know, she has to have a daughter by the law in California to be a surrogate mother. And then we have Emma, and then she has another daughter. And when we talk to have the twins, she had the twins. And after that, she has a boy. And now she adopted two children. You know, she's wonderful. My partner, he's like a social worker. He's all the time, you know, sending her clothes and helping her. And we have a great relationship. Sometimes when we travel to San Diego, we visit her when our kids were, you know, small. They play with their kids. Now they are almost teenager, you know, the twins. And they, you know, they're very particular right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Armando Lucas Correa about his book, In Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family, originally published as En Busca de Emma in 2007, out in an English language version just a couple of weeks ago, last week, in fact. You can join us on The Exchange as we talk about this long process of a gay male couple in the early 2000s trying to go through surrogacy and have a baby in America. It got easier over time, but boy, was it hard, as he details in the book. You can join us on The Exchange with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So to the point you were just mentioning about, so you stayed in touch with Mary, you know the story about Mary and her other kids. I mean, how long have your kids known the story of them? Have they always known it?
Oh, yeah, always. My children have grown knowing how they were conceived. when they were little, I created a picture book for them to illustrate how they came into the world. I remember for a while, Emma would ask me to read it to her every night. And she said to me that was her favorite book. When the twins were born, I create another one in search of Anna, another one in search of Lucas. And, you know, I think with the truth, it's much better for them. Even, you know, if your child is via surrogate mother or adopted, it's better coming with the truth. And they know everything. I remember when my daughter was like 5 years old, and after school, we went to pick her up and then going to after-school classes, piano classes, and one boy said to her, oh, you have to die? If you have to die, you have to be adopted. And she said, no, I am not adopted. Yes, you have to be adopted. You are an adopted girl because you have to die, you know. And then she arrived at home during dinner. She, someone said to me that I am adopted. And you said, you know that you're not adopted. You know the process. We don't have any problem with an adopted girl, but you, that's not your way you came to us. And then the next day when we went to pick her up, the teachers was impressed because Emma is very shy. At that day, at the end of the class, she decided to stand up in the middle of the classroom and explain the process. And she said, you know, using her hands, that my dad, you know, gave a warrant. You know, she said the name of the egg donor, and we can mention the name of the egg donor, put an egg, and she moved it in a plate, and with a spoon, the doctor mixed them, and they create an embryo, she said embryo, and they put three embryos inside Mary's belly, and one of them is me. You know, she explained the whole process with all the 5 years old.
Oh, that's amazing. But, you know, leave it to another 5 year old to challenge her on. It's like, no, you have to be adopted.
Yeah. But, you know, we live in New York. We're lucky here. And it's a very diverse city. Not that we're going to find this kind of family in every classroom, but, you know, they're fine. Yeah. And they know how to defend themselves and explain everything. And, you know.
So you give some insight a while into the book about you and projects, and it sounds like on any project you get very focused. Was it the normal level of that, or was this like, you know, you on a project on steroids in search of Emma?
I remember my coworker saying, okay, I know you love projects, you're spending a lot of time making a project, and when you are an editor, you know, every month is a new thing. And I said, but do you know you're going to have your child every day? And I said, okay, but you know, you have to understand when you have a kid, you know, when they're a toddler is something, when they're babies, another thing, when they are, you know, teenagers is another nightmare. It's always a project with them. And I always, you know, I think this book served as an emotional outlet for me. And, you know, I wrote the books in Spanish, and I always say that the German girl, you know, my novel exists thanks to Emma. Because it was Johanna Castillo, my first editor, and now she's my literary agent, who read Emma in Spanish and told me I should write a novel. And I spoke to her about, you know, all the research that I did about, you know, the Holocaust and the Jewish refugees arriving in Cuba. And a few days later, I was signing a contract with Simon & Schuster to publish a novel I had yet to write, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think Emma opened the door for me. And
talk about, though, I mean, you had obviously setbacks in your own case, you know, with the original doctor saying, you know, low sperm count. Yeah, you know, you had to go through a couple of little shuffles here and there with the egg donor and with the surrogate mom. But even outside of the things that happened in your own case, I mean, did you drive yourself completely to distraction by looking into the medical and legal snarls in other people's cases?
No, when he told me that, I'm trying to find, you know, a plan B. Mm-hmm. If I can do it via surrogate, maybe I can, you know, adopt an embryo. You know, I was looking for all the possibilities. The problem is, you know, is going that way is going to be more expensive at the same time. You know? If something else that you have to spend money and another kind of lawyer. But I remember looking at different agencies then, an embryo's bank like that some agencies have. And, but it's always a problem during those years. If you're a gay couple, some of them, they have restriction to adopt the embryos. But even the donor, you know, it's always the same issue.
Has that changed completely now? I mean, given
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. You have more agencies, and there is always limitation, no? Because you have like when you go to the database or the egg donor agency, they have tons of young women that you can go through the database, and I think right now, like 20% of them, they're the only one who, you know, don't work with gay couples. The majority, I think, they're open to work with whoever's the one to start the process. But the limitation is not only for gay couples. Sometimes it's for if you're a single a woman or man, it's always a problem. Most of them, they want to work with traditional couples, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they get the call, you know, the situation in which they'll be delivering a child into. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. We'll pick up the other conversation on the other side of a break. As we go to the break, let me remind you that it is fall fund drive time here on JPR, and we are seeking pledges of support to continue to do the things we do here. You can just go online to ijpr.org, and there's a banner right across all of the internal pages, and just click on that to contribute during the fall drive. It takes you to the page that lets you fill in your information. The goal for the month, $140,000. And we're just short of $40,000 so far. So making good progress today with some good donations here, or good pledges of support from the likes of, we got an anonymous. We mentioned Paul Christie already. Helga Motley, good to hear from you. B. Bacher Wetmore, Armoon Forgan, all good to hear from you. And thank you so much for your pledges of support. Pledge online at ijpr.org. We're back to talk more with Armando Lucas Correa about In Search of Emma in a minute five here. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Armando Lucas Correa is a longtime journalist, editor, author, one-time editor of People in Español. He and his husband went through a very long and protracted effort to have a baby, and they now have three children, all born through gestational surrogacy. Emma, and who is 16 years old, or will be soon, and Anna and Lucas, 11 years old, twins. And the story of going to get Emma, to create Emma, is told in the book In Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family, originally written in Spanish and published in 2007, an English language version out in October of 2021. And you can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Armando, how far into the process were you before you told family and friends of your plans and how you were carrying them out?
At the beginning, I was very open, and everybody knows, even when I donated my sperm. But when we had the first accident, that, you know, we did a transfer, it was at 70% of possibility. I remember the doctor saying that it was a great transfer. They were great embryos, and we lost the pregnancy in the first week. I decided to keep it everything you know, in private, and even to my partner and to Gonzalo, because it was not because I didn't want to. It's because, you know, every time that we have that kind of accident, people call you, and it was painful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And until I have, you know, and we know that Mary was pregnant with a classic 3-month pregnancy, then I, you know, I brought the news to the family and friends and everybody.
Wow. I'm working up to that, but let me just, I'll get there now, because 216 pages in, you get a phone call, you know, she's pregnant, and you're in a parking lot. I could only laugh, but I have to admit, I was feeling misty at the time, too.
And I always, you know, I almost died that moment. I was shaking. I remember that call, the time exactly when Mary called, and it was a dream. It was a dream.
I have only talked about the mechanics thus far and neglected the spiritual part of all this. I mean, why did you lock on thinking early on that the baby would be a daughter?
Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I talked to the doctor, and he expressed the whole process, and he explained me every detail, you know. And he said, Armando, I can't create the perfect embryo, no, with the perfect division, you know. And we can do the perfect transfer, but that the embryo became a human being is only in the hands of God. And I am a Catholic because, you know, my family came from Spain, and but we are not religious because growing up in Cuba, it was almost illegal to go to the church. And I decided that I have to go back to the church. I remember going every Thursday and Sunday, and did the confirmation, even I was in my 40s. And the last night of the 20th century, 1999, I remember, December 31st, I went to Rome with the whole family, and because they have this kind of mass that is only one every 1,000 years, and they opened the door of the St. Peter Basilic, and the Pope did this mass dedicated to children. And I went there, and I prayed, and I remember fighting with a couple of nuns that they want to keep my seat, and I want to stay there. The rest of the family that was traveling around Rome, and I was in the middle of the midnight, you know, celebrating this mass there. And I prayed a lot, and I remember when I promised myself that, you know, my children, they're going to be open to everything that they want to be. And that my mother, because my mother is very spiritual, and she's not, we're Catholic, but she's more like a Buddhist, and she practices yoga. And I said that they're going to be open to all this, you know, to be whatever they want to be.
Uh-huh. So, and how have you reconciled your own faith with the way that the Catholic Church approaches things?
Oh, yeah, that's another art that we have to. Because I remember we went to we have a friend that he has a triple via surrogacy, but he was a single guy, and you know we went to the baptism of the children. And then I talked to the priest that was in Key Biscayne in Miami. And I said, hey, I want to baptize my daughter. You know, I said, but we are to that. He said, oh, no, I can't put on the program the name of two men. It has to be only one. You have to decide who's going to be in the program. And then I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lie. And then we put on the side the baptism. And when we had the twins, we have to rent because, you know, they were premature. They were 35 weeks, I think, Mary was pregnant when we had them. And we rent a house in Pasadena, and across the street, it was like a beautiful Methodist church. And I went there, you know, like to pray. And then we met the priest there. And we said that we want to baptize it. We explained that we were to that, and he said yes. And we organized a beautiful baptism to the three of them the same day. and Gonzalo's sister get married the same day, it was like a big celebration. Because, you know, every time that we have the child, Emma, or the twins, the whole family travel to California. And we have family in Italy, we have family in California, in New York, and in Miami. And it's a big celebration.
Well, yeah, that's one of the points I wanted to bring up, though. I mean, when you talk to people about the size of your extended family and the very rich connections you have, I mean, can people relate?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think when I decided to write the book, I have to talk to my boss here, you know, because I am the face of People in Español. And to have an idea, our audience, we have 7 million readers, but 68% of them, they are Mexican. Some of them, they are very conservative, very Catholic. And I was worried that it's going to be annoying for some of them. And I don't want to lose the readers, you know, that's my job. And my boss, Martha Nelson, she was the editor-in-chief at that moment in Time Inc. She said to me, no, you have to do it. This is your story. And, you know, it's going to be better for all of us. And I remember doing the promotion in Spanish, going to national television, and at the end, you know, all these Mexican mothers that were followers of People in Español, they realized, and for them was very important to see a man, a father dedicated to the children, because some of them they were abandoned by their husband, they don't care about their children, and when they saw these two men dedicated and full-time involved in the life of these children, it was amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. I always receive beautiful letters from all of them, even today. And I think it's important, Jeff. You know why? Because I want them to know that, okay, we are to that, but our family is like your family. If you go to my apartment here in New York, you're going to see an apartment with tons of plastic toys. And we're always worried like you know, what is going to be the best school? What is going to be the after school? They need piano classes. We need to do a sport. We need to travel. I love them, you know. We love traveling, and we have been traveling around the world. We went with the twins to Japan, with Emma to China, Turkey, France. You know, we're always traveling with them and showing them museums and we are a regular family. I know we are not a traditional family, but we are a family like yours.
Absolutely. We have an email here from Julie in Grants Pass who asks if the long and arduous process, and again, the search went on for 4 years plus, so when Emma finally arrived in 2005. Julie wants to know if the long and arduous process caused friction between you and your husband, Gonzalo.
No, not really. He's a photographer. We came together from Cuba. We have been together right now around 30 years, I think. We met after college. And I decided that it's, you know, I'm going to be the sperm donor because he has a gene in his family of the cystic fibrosis, I think it's called. And we don't want to have that kind of risk with the children. But he's a full-time dad now. He's at home with them. He's very dedicated to him. And we have the friction that all the family has when you have, you know, dealing with kids and now teenagers. But he's a very dedicated dad. And he's the one dealing with teachers and after school. And he's the strict one. I am the more flexible one.
Good cop, bad cop. You're the good cop, huh?
Exactly. And now, you know, during the pandemic, for me, it was great. Because, you know, when we had Emma, I decided to work from home. That was in 2005. And I moved to Miami, and we spent together 3 years traveling to New York only for the closing of the magazine. And then I became editor-in-chief. We have to move to New York. And we have a house upstate New York in the middle of the wood. And during the pandemic, I know it was hard, but I love to be, you know, 2 years in the middle of the wood with the whole family, you know, writing and dealing with school. And right now we're happy to go back to a kind of normality. But, you know, we're a family like all the families. Mm-hmm. And the tension that we have is the same tension that every couple has dealing with children.
Absolutely, especially when you got a good cop, bad cop situation. Yeah, there's going to be times when your parenting styles differ greatly.
Yeah.
So I have not asked about what the 9 months of knowing that that Mary was pregnant with Emma and Emma's arrival, what did those feel like back then? And in hindsight, what does that period seem like to you now?
Yeah, I remember going to San Diego every week. I remember, taking the first flight, coming back in the red flight, to all the ultrasound tests, going to all medical appointments. We went together, Gonzalo and I, to the birthday. It was very intense. And then with the twins, it was different. When we trust them, we know them, and we went to only to the main doctor appointment. And because, you know, they were twins, they broke the water before time. I traveled, when I arrived, they were born already. And looking back, it's like an adventure, mm-hmm. I think. I know with a lot of accidents, but as you know me, I don't want to remember the bad thing, only the emotional one. And I recommend, to everybody who wants to be a parent, follow your dream, yeah. And be, you have to be patient, you have to be persistent, and you never give up.
I wonder if you remember the first words out of your mouth when you first held Emma.
Oh, I remember holding her in this hospital. Mary had Emma, and then they gave us the room for 2 days. And we stayed there like with the mother, and she moved to another room. And I remember holding her and saying, I am your dad, and this is going to be a long journey together. I remember saying that.
And so she's almost 16 years old. I mean, is she giving you the kind of lip that 16-year-olds tend to give their parents?
remember she started high school, and then the pandemic came, and she moved from a private school before for middle school, and she started a STEM school. Mm-hmm. She did the test, and she won one of the best schools in the country, and it's public. And then she doesn't have any friend there, And right now she said, I'm dying to have a boyfriend. I need to have a boyfriend, she said all the time. And she wanted to go to medical school. We went to to internship, and I love it. I think I learned more than her, and because we went to a morgue, and they work with the brain.
Wow.
Doing all the analysis and the explanation. I love going with her to this. And as she was quiet, I did all the questions, I think. And right now, for me, the most important thing for them, as a parent, is that they have to be independent. They have to be good person, good people, and go to college. They have to go to college. We don't have any other option. You can be whatever you want, but you have to study, and they know that. And Emma wants to go to medical school. Anna wants to go to veterinary school. Lucas is the boy who wants to be the engineering. Mm-hmm. And they're very focused on that, and we're helping them.
It's a beautiful story, well told. In Search of Emma, How We Created Our Family by Armando Lucas Correa, and translated by Cecilia Molinari. Armando, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson
Exchange.